What is up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 3 of the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Adam Capps here, my buddy Hank Harewood with me. Hank, what's going on?
Not too much. You know, excited for round 3, excited for tonight. You know, we've picked up some good traction, some good steam. Found out that episode 1, at least, I don't know about episode 2 yet, but episode 1, at least, we have an international audience. We have some listeners across the pond in Europe. Very exciting. And just those listeners alone is probably going to make me tell everybody I know that I have a podcast that is internationally listened to. I'll probably tell at least 30 people that the next couple of weeks.
I think I have something else to add to my resume.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Great resume builder. Really good resume builder. So, hey, you know what? We might have some friends that are watching or listening, I should say, from some other places. Maybe some folks hanging out down there, some expats down in the Banana Republics hanging out listening. If so, hey, shoot us an email at our brand new email, under40pod@gmail.com, under40pod@gmail.com. If you want to be a guest, or you got a neat story to tell, or if you just like it or have suggestions on what we can do better or things you'd like to hear us ramble on about, shoot us an email at under40pod@gmail.com.
That's right. And I want to remind you, we're also on Instagram at under40pod. And wherever you're listening to this, if you like it, it is very important that you give us a 5-star rating, because that will help other parrot heads find us. So if you want to help spread the word, give us a good rating and tell your friends, share us on social, whatever you want to do. But you know what, Hank, if nobody listens to it, it's a lot of fun talking Buffett.
There's no doubt. It's a lot of fun. And you know, the premise of the podcast here, Under 40 Victims of Fate, turns out, Adam, there's a lot more like us, right? Those younger folks that indeed know how to listen to podcasts. Nod to my friend Holden, who thinks Jimmy Buffett fans don't know how to listen to podcasts. Turns out there's a lot more like us that enjoy Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, actually, we've got some good feedback from some of them on this podcast. And luckily, tonight, we have a couple that are going to be guests with us.
Yeah, that's right. We are really excited to have our first guest on tonight. And before you introduce them, I did want to give a shout out to someone who reached out to us over Instagram and really loved the show. His name is Anthony, and he's chatted back and forth with me some on the Instagram account. And I thought I had a pretty good Buffett vinyl collection, and this dude kind of put me to shame. Before we started recording, he sent me a 1979 German re-release of Down to Earth, and it's against my religion to envy, but I'm sinning at the moment. That, I don't know where he found some of these. I can't wait to hear that story, but he did inform me that he is an over 40 victim of fate, but you know, we might have to break the rules a little bit and have him on one day.
That sounds impressive. A German re-release. You know, that may be something interesting for us to look into. Adam, how many countries have Jimmy Buffett vinyls and albums been released and re-released into?
You know, I think if we were to deep dive on that, I would be completely broke, because I would have to try and buy all of them. So
I know you would.
Why don't you introduce our guest?
Let's do it. We've got a couple of really special guests with us, actually very close old friends of ours, Megan and Taylor Davis, big Jimmy Buffett fans. We're gonna let them kind of introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you do, those types of things.
What's going on, guys? My name is Taylor. My wife and I, Megan, we live down in Atlanta, Georgia. Megan is a, well, you tell them.
Right now I'm a stay-at-home mom, but before we had our daughter, she's 8 months old, I was a teacher, a special ed teacher.
So. Yeah, and I've been in the live events industry doing kind of sound and lighting for concerts, but currently I'm the production director for a large church here in the area.
And we are actually both 29, so we're under 30.
Yeah, like, under 30.
Mm, hey,
that's
me
a sub,
too.
That's a sub podcast that we can start.
Yeah, Hank. Sorry, Hank. Sorry.
I'm the distinguished scholar and elderly gentleman of tonight's podcast. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You mentioned your daughter a little bit. Megan, tell us about your wonderful daughter.
Our daughter, her name is Lillian. She's asleep right now, but she's awesome. We went through a lot to try to get pregnant with her and to have her, so we're just really thankful for her, and she's awesome. She's really fun. She's really smiley.
But we have to talk about our son.
Oh, we have a dog named Buffett.
That's right.
So
he's a 3-year-old golden doodle. He's the
named
best.
named after the man himself, huh?
There we go.
Absolutely. We get asked that often. Is it Jimmy Buffett or the other Buffett?
Warren Buffett. I said he has a Hawaiian collar, like Hawaiian print collar. And I said, I don't see Warren Buffett wearing a Hawaiian collar.
Right. Makes it obvious there, doesn't it? A dog named Buffett in a Hawaiian print collar. There can only be one inspiration for that.
Who would name their dog after Warren Buffett? Let's be real.
That's a great question.
I mean, that's amazing that you have a dog named after Jimmy Buffett. It sounds like something that I've dreamt of, but it's never happened for me. So you guys are living the dream.
Well, Megan Taylor, tell us a little bit about your background, kind of as parrot heads. What do you love about Jimmy Buffett? When were you introduced to his music? That kind of thing.
I grew up with Jimmy Buffett. My dad loves Jimmy Buffett. Grew up listening to Jimmy Buffett in the car or whenever we were listening to music around the house. My dad loves to cook for people, so he grew up cooking gumbo, and every time he cooked gumbo, it was the house. It takes all day. It's an all-day process, and there's always a ton of people invited over, and it's always blasting Jimmy Buffett all day while he's cooking in his Hawaiian shirt. And it's just a fun time when dad cooks gumbo. But we grew up, I remember once a year, my parents and my dad and his siblings would all get a babysitter, and all the cousins, there's 9 of us, would stay together with the babysitter, and they would all go to Jimmy Buffett concert once a year. And I just have memories of that every time he would come to Atlanta. So those are fun memories of listening to songs with my dad in the car and things like that.
Outstanding. Outstanding. You didn't dance to any specific songs at your wedding, did you?
Yeah. So Little Miss Magic is mine and my dad's song. And he has always sang that to me. My dad's a pilot. So he and Jimmy Buffett have a lot in common when it comes to fishing and boats and airplanes. And so a lot of the words, a lot of the lyrics in Little Miss Magic are very common with the relationship my dad and I have. So that's a fun song to dance to. And every time I hear it, I cry, and he calls me Little Miss Magic. So, you know, that's one of those. And I also, Jollymon was another one of our songs. He read me the Jollymon book growing up, and he gave it to Lily before she was born. So Jollymon's a fun family song too.
That is special. Great children's book.
Yeah, and I, my love for Jimmy Buffett actually came, used to go through, my dad had one of the big folding CD binders full of CDs, and I found a CD in there that was super shiny on the front side. And as a kid, I just liked it because I could reflect the light around the room with it. It ended up being Feeding Frenzy, the live album. And so I would carry that CD around with me, and I guess that was 1990, so that was a year before I was born. And so as a kid, I would carry that around, and then my dad bought me a little Walkman, and so I would carry it around and put it in there and listen to it. And by the time I was 8 or 9, I could probably sing every single song front to back, even the ad-lib stuff between tracks. Just fell in love with him. My parents took me to my first concert when I was 12, and there's no turning back.
How about that, Taylor? You've got something that we don't. Adam didn't go to his first concert until much later in his life.
Dude, I was 25.
25 for Mr. Caps there. I met the unfortunate fate that Megan did. My parents got a babysitter, and I was not allowed at Jimmy Buffett concerts growing up, unfortunately. But I've certainly made up for it since then. So, Taylor, also, fun fact, you now own the distinction, I think, of the very first mention of Feeding Frenzy here on the podcast. Episode 3, jot it down. Feeding Frenzy gets its first mention.
Very nice.
Yeah, that is a good one to bring up. You're right. I noticed when I found the used copy that I bought to try and round out my collection best I could. There's so many bootleg CDs and stuff out there. I don't have all of those yet, but it is a very shiny CD. But I wonder where or how long it took you to understand the meaning of the city. I think that's the first time we get the city recorded by Buffett on Feeding Frenzy.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly was just singing lyrics at that age. I had no idea what I was talking about, especially the love song is on that track. And never understood why my dad said that I couldn't play it in certain scenarios until much, much later in life.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Yeah, I guess he should have, on the parakeet version, released a Why Don't We Get Lunch in School.
There we go.
Anyway.
Speaking of Feeding Frenzy, do you guys have a couple of favorite albums or songs now? What are we going with favorite? Let's say favorite album for you guys first. Let's start that one off.
Albums is hard for me because my dad had like the big fold out thing of like all of Jimmy Buffett's like songs. And so we would just like grab one and throw it in. So I honestly don't know albums. I'm not, you know, I don't really follow, but I have favorite songs, but we'll let Taylor talk about his favorite albums. He has a whole list here of his favorite albums.
Yeah, see, I mean, you can't just talk about albums. There's a lot to dive in there. Cause if it's like your favorite album that, like, if you could only have one for the rest of your life, for me, that'd be Boats, Beaches, Bars, and Ballads, just because it doesn't really count as one album, but technically it's an album. Yeah, absolutely. There,
you know?
I think I would have to say that Feeding Frenzy is just, it's close to me just because that's how I was introduced to Buffett, and that's all I knew of Buffett for so long. But right now, I'd have to say just the season that we're in, Coconut Telegraph, is really great. It's so kind of call good. It like Buffett's like blue time. It's just a very, every track just very down, mellow. It's every song on there is just so good.
It's a whole vibe, man. It's a whole vibe. Like if I was picking the 15 songs you don't know by heart that I wanted Jimmy to do, at least two of them I think would have come from Coconut Telegraph, Incommunicado, and The Good Fight. Man, I would have loved to have heard a little backstory, especially on those two, and then heard them stripped down even more to that acoustic version.
Totally.
I'll tell you, hard to imagine how Incommunicado didn't make the cut. But if we're ever lucky enough for Delaney and James to hear this podcast, you have three, and I'm sure Megan would throw her support behind this, so at least four votes that if there's a second Songs You Don't Know by Heart, we have some big-time support for Incommunicado to go on that album right now.
Incommunicado, and how on earth did West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown not make it? Like, I think that's a bit of a travesty. I understand throwing Tin Cup Chalice on there, but Tin Cup Chalice might as well have been on Songs You Know by Heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my little vent session.
No, I'm with you on there. West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown. Kind of a cult classic Jimmy Buffett fan song. Did not play it very often in concert until like maybe 2017 in Cincinnati. He played it for maybe the third or fourth time ever, and it made the encore cut from then on somehow.
Yeah, and then one that I think that should be on there, and Megan actually has a funny story about this, is Bob Roberts Society Band.
Go ahead, Megan.
Well, my family, I mentioned earlier, big family, 9 cousins. Lots of aunts and uncles, and we always play charades every time we're together, and it's always the girls versus the boys, and it gets very heated, and one time the men put Bob Roberts Society Band in because they didn't think the women would know all of the, you know, these, like, more obscure Jimmy Buffett songs, and the code, we always have codes because we always play, And if it's a Jimmy Buffett song, the code is always to point to my mom because my dad loves Jimmy Buffett. And so they pointed to my mom and we yelled, Bob Roberts Society Band, because we just knew they were going to throw that one in there because it was so obscure. And they were just blown. It was like 5 seconds of charades and we got that song. So
yeah, it makes it way at least every time you play charades. It has to find its way in there somewhere.
I love that there is a code in charades for Jimmy Buffett songs.
For Bob Roberts Society Band specifically, like that is, as I mentioned on the last episode, I think I've been diving into Banana Wind a lot lately. And again, something that's so awesome about Jimmy, if you're just listening to the melody on Bob Roberts Society Band, it is a very like schmaltzy, very much like a James Buffet song other than Jimmy Buffett, but lyrically he still like throws these amazing descriptive lyrics in there that one shows how great of a songwriter he is, but I think also gives you a peek into the author that he is, but like just so descriptive down a secondary road that severely shows its age. The party's come to life on a makeshift stage. So, just good stuff.
That is really good stuff. You know, that's a song too I'm not overly familiar with. Thank goodness I've not been playing charades, but I will admit, with all this talk of gumbo and the cousins and Jimmy Buffett and charades, the next time that there is gumbo cooked down there, I probably need to make a little trip. Maybe we can tag team that with the next time Jimmy plays down in Atlanta. I can come down, we can cook gumbo, we can go to the concert, we'll play charades, we'll do the whole thing.
That would be great.
In that order.
That would be absolutely fantastic. And I'll say, we have plenty of time to discuss this on a visit. Taylor, maybe over a glass of bourbon even. But I want to make it, this is more of a couple's question for you guys now. All right, so a couple's question.
Oh boy.
I would say four songs. I think Adam and I both talked about four songs, but that would be too easy because you both get two. So I'm interested to hear the conversation surrounding this and who gets the tiebreaker. If you were going to a deserted island, or let's say tis the COVID season, let's say that you had to quarantine together for 2 weeks in the house there, you guys just with each other. And you can only listen to five songs the whole 2 weeks. What five songs are you going with?
Yeah, we actually, Megan was, I guess, 7 months pregnant when COVID happened. So we were super, super cautious, didn't leave the house. So I feel like we've already kind of gone through this and done the experimentation. But right off the top, we were both still working. But we were having boat drinks by 11 o'clock in the afternoon out in the yard. So that's what we said. Number one, we've just got to say boat drinks.
Yeah. Boat drinks is our go-to, which boat drinks even before that has always been our like fun song. Like when we start having fun, if we're out on the boat, if we're just hanging out, you know, boat drinks is our fun song. So
what a great fun song, right? And a good quarantine song. It doesn't just have to be cold to shoot six holes in your freezer. You know, you could be quarantined for any number of reasons. And get a little cabin fever.
Cabin fever, for sure.
So I love it. What a fun song to pick with Boat Drinks. Adam, what do you think?
Boat Drinks was one of my early favorites. After I got past Changes and Fins and Margaritaville, Boat Drinks was one of those that I didn't know on the surface when I bought Songs You Don't Know by Heart. And it's the first song on my 12-hour long Jimmy Buffett playlist now. So yeah, definitely, like you guys were saying, a fun song that I tend to play a lot in the winter for sure. And a funny story about this song real quick. I played college golf at a Division II school, not to get too braggy, it was only Division II, but anyway, it was my senior year, our conference tournament, and I was not playing well, but my coach knew my obsession with Jimmy Buffett. He's like, dude, you got to get in your zen area, you got to thank Buffett. I'm like, you realize I just hit a double cross 20 yards into the woods, man? And he starts playing Boat Drinks off of his phone because he had downloaded my playlist, I guess, to keep me sane out there. And you know, I rattled off a couple of pars in a row, made a few birdies coming in. So shout out Jimmy for the help again, and a great coaching move right there.
Hey, that's big time coaching.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
No doubt. No doubt. So boat.
That has
boat
to drinks. Be the only time that boat drinks has been used as a coach's inspirational speech, though.
It's got to be. It's got to be. But I'm so glad that I'm a part of that story.
I think maybe like, so fun fact, I worked at the University of Louisiana Monroe as associate athletic director there for a little bit. And they have an unbelievable water ski team down there, like incredible water skiing team. And so I guess there is some potential that the water ski team down there listened to Boat Drinks for inspiration once in a while before they went water skiing on the bayou. Though I do not know that to be a fact or not. I guess there's some potential there.
Yeah, we can't imagine that there would be too many boat drinks involved for them to go skiing, but maybe after the fact.
Maybe a post-water ski activity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So song two.
We have to, after having a boat drinks, pretty high energy song, got to take it down to 10 Cup Chalice. My personal favorite Buffett song.
We both have several favorites. So we would allow, like, we each get to pick one favorite because you can't listen to anything else. And then the other three we've kind of got to agree on based on mood needs, you know? So his favorite choice is 10 Cup Chalice. My favorite choice would be One Particular Harbor. So,
oh, outstanding pick. Both of you, I'll say, I, you know, it's really hard. And our listeners have heard me say before, and probably everyone else here too, has heard me say, my favorite Buffett songs are probably more of a conversation than a list. But if I had a gun to my head and had to pick a top three, One Particular Harbor would be on it every single time, which may in fact make it my favorite Buffett song, but there's just too many other really good ones to choose from too.
Yeah, not only is it a fantastic song, we found ourselves every time we got in the car when we were dating and newly married, that every time we got in the car, turned it on, One Particular Harbor was playing. And it became a joke that we just loved the song so much that it just followed us from radio to our phones to XM. We always found it around us.
I love it. I love it. So we got, in no particular order, Boat Drinks, 10 Cup Chalice, Taylor's favorite, One Particular Harbor, Megan's favorite, 4 and 5 now.
Well, you got to take it back. Like, our most favorite fun song, I think, would be Grapefruit Juicy Fruit.
All yeah. right.
Just a happy mood lifter, Grapefruit Juicy Fruit.
But to round it out, if you've been in quarantine, the only thing you're thinking about is a holiday.
Hmm.
They need a holiday.
So I just see myself like coming towards the end of quarantine. Like, we love traveling. It's what we do most. We're usually big cruisers down to the Caribbean, and that song just makes me want to get on a boat, go down to the Caribbean for a week.
It was a real treat to hear Jimmy play that so often on the last tour. I know you guys were excited about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it got a lot of run on the last tour. It really did. And I'll tell you, that's one of those songs too that, to me, got better the more I heard it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I love the amount of love you guys are throwing towards the Banana Wind album. I love that. We need more advocates for Fruitcakes, Barometer Soup, and Banana Wind because, yes, 70s Buffett is really good. It's hard to beat, but those three are pretty close to my heart.
Banana Wind, very good one. Very good one. I've got a basketball coach that I work with currently. He has Jimmy Buffett Fridays, and I believe he started the tradition with the Banana Wind album playing, the vinyl Banana Wind album playing. So there's some more lovers of Banana Wind out there, Adam.
Real quick disclaimer, probably just a CD. Unfortunately, didn't print that on vinyl, and it breaks my heart that they didn't. But some of those in the 90s, I'm hoping they'll go back and reprint those. So I didn't want the hardcores, you know, inundating our inbox. So, you know, hey. we've got an email now. So people are going to be telling us all the stupid things we say. Oh, no, you screwed doubt. That up. There's no Banana Wind. Sorry, man. We just, We messed up. It's going to happen more, I promise.
That's the way it goes, you know, when you put yourself out into the big wide world of social
media.
That's
right. That's right.
Out on the big scary internet, there will be some folks out there probably who take some umbrage with things that we say, and more importantly, probably with things that we don't say.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So I've got an interesting question for you, Taylor.
Oh boy.
And it deals with your church. So fun fact, as my wife and I were looking for new churches, when we first moved to Charlotte from Miami, we're looking for new churches. And I will not call the church out. Wonderful place, unbelievable people. During church on Sunday, one of the songs that was sang was Margaritaville, which was remarkably interesting to me because I didn't understand the connection, right? We also sang Katy Perry.
This is the first time hearing of this. This is
– yeah.
What church is this?
we also sang Katy Perry Roar, which I could kind of see that one a little more maybe, you know?
Are you sure you were at church?
Yep. Great okay. question. Positive, I was at church Sunday morning. My wife and I still talk about it to this day. We didn't stick there. You know, we didn't stick at that church. But they sang Margaritaville, and we left, and Tara was convinced. Hank will not hear of going to church anywhere else now. You know, like they we've found our church home. This is where we're going to be. They literally sang Jimmy Buffett right there in Margaritaville, no less. During Sunday service, which I thought was fun and interesting. But it made me think, Taylor, if you had to suggest one song to your lead pastor to sing during a Sunday morning church service, what are you going with?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, that's a kind of walk on eggshells with that. I think it's super easy that you could go with the Captain and the Kid. There's a whole lot of interweaving there with just kind of getting away with your dad or with your father or with God and just spending some time kind of forgetting about the times of the world and learning everything from your dad and just kind of reminiscing on the time that you spent together. But I think you could take the whole Down to Earth album and you could like write a series of sermons off of it. Because I mean, you've got the Christian on there, Captain and the Kid, even all the way down to a Truck Stop Salvation. I mean, I think there's a lot of gold content there. You got to pick and choose.
And even the missionary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy showing his Catholic school upbringing down there on the Gulf Coast with his first album, you know? But I'll tell you what, I never thought about the Captain and the Kid. What a good pick there. Some spirituality too.
Yep. Yeah. Hank,
and it's just a great tune that I would love to – I just love to hear every week.
Hank, I'm kind of stuck on this. First, I'm trying to imagine what would happen at my Baptist church if we on the prison worship team began singing Margaritaville. I think we would all be condemned to hell at that moment. But secondly, the most important question, did the crowd chant back, Saul? Salt.
That is a good question. You know, I mumbled it under my breath. and Tara and I got a good kick out of that because I did mumble it under my breath. But I'll tell you, the crowd at the church there, not as into Margaritaville as the crowd generally is at the shows that we're at, you know?
Okay. Well, that makes a little bit of sense, actually.
And it was not a Baptist church, Adam. I'll say that. It was not a Baptist church. But it was a church. I mean, it was a regular – like, it was a regular – you would drive by and recognize it, like, as a church. I mean, it was a church. Wonderful people. But there we went with Margaritaville. And you know what, man? It was fun. Maybe that was actually a sign that we should have gone to church there, and I just totally whiffed on that.
Oh, that's – I can't believe you never told me that. That is probably my favorite thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Again,
I just wanted to see the reaction of you and Tara looking at each other when they started playing.
So I can kind of play this one back. So we're singing, I think we did Roar first by Katy Perry. And we're like, yeah, I could see it, you know, like Sure. And then the title came on like the PowerPoint deal, and it said Margaritaville. And I said, well, to be sure not. You know, that this is interesting. I don't know that I'd be that lucky. You know, I'm sitting here in church and they're going to hit them with some Margaritaville the one Sunday I come to try it out. And so I think, well, surely not. And they start playing the guitar. And I said, okay, yeah, sounds a little bit like it. You know, I could see it. And they put the words up on the screen. And Tara and I were saying to ourselves, surely, right? We were whispering back and forth, surely this is some cute, catchy thing. And they're going to change the words up somehow, you know. And, you know, we were wrong about that. I mean, we jumped straight into Margaritaville, the same great Margaritaville. Did not sing the last verse, the lost verse there. Didn't sing that one. But we were waiting on some change lyrics or something. Never happened. Didn't come. We just sang the actual song, and it was really something. Fun.
And it was in that moment that Hank got saved.
if I wasn't before that, I'll tell you that would have done. You know? That would have done. So it was an interesting Sunday, and I'll tell you why we didn't make it back there. The church was quite a ways from our house. It's probably 30, 35 minutes from the house. But, you know, again, a lot of fun. Absolutely unbelievable and a lot of fun. So speaking of a lot of fun, one more question for you guys before we say thanks again and let you go. Tell Adam and I and our listeners, tell us about your favorite concert memory or two, maybe your whole favorite concert, maybe one specific memory, whatever it is.
I think it would probably have to be a combination of two that kind of really became one. And it actually involves Hank and Tara. We went to the show in Atlanta in 2018. Ended up being just a horrible day. Poured down rain the entire time. We were out in the lawn and it was a mud fest. But we were out there having a blast. And we knew that Hank and Tara were going to the show in Nashville 2 days later.
Was it 2018 or 2019?
I guess it may have been 2019. I'm not sure.
I want to say 19, maybe. It may have been.
What did
COVID stretched the time there.
I wouldn't normally correct that, but I don't want you guys to get emails.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Thank you. Yeah,
so it would have been whatever year that was, Atlanta, Nashville, back to back. But you're right. I don't know if it was 18 or 19.
What did he open with? This is the easy way to tell.
Either way,
I can't remember Adam what he opened with. He did play West Nashville Grand Ballroom down in Nashville. I know that.
In Nashville, but he didn't play it in Atlanta.
But we were sitting out in the lawn in Atlanta, soaking wet, and we knew that Hank and Tara were going to the show in Nashville, and we were trying to talk before we went to the Atlanta show. Like, well, maybe we should try to figure out and go to Nashville, but the timing didn't really work out, and we decided just to go to Atlanta since it was close by and we could come home that night. But towards the end of the concert, we were sitting out in the lawn and probably had a land shark or two and started texting Hank and Tara about the concert, and lo and behold, 10 minutes later, Megan looks at me and says, we're going to Nashville. And I said, okay, let's go do it. We booked our seats like two rows down in the orchestra right behind Hank and Tara, sitting out in the lawn of one show, booked tickets for 2 days later, went home, packed a bag, drove up the next morning to Nashville, met Hank and Tara. The funny thing is that was when, this will tell us, that was when the NFL draft was in Nashville at the same time. And we had kind of in a whirlwind, we were super lucky. We were looking on all the hotel websites trying to get a hotel for that night, couldn't figure out why everything was booked up in Nashville, because it was 2019 NFL draft. So we were trying to find hotels, couldn't figure out why we couldn't find any. Luckily, Megan's credit card points somehow or another magically got us a hotel on Broadway, and so we're like, great, we're going to the show. Tell Hank and Tara, and we get to the hotel. And if you're familiar with Nashville at all, it was right at the top of the hill of Broadway. And so we came in from the other side of the hill, pulled into the hotel, and we see all these people walking around the lobby of the hotel with NFL jerseys on, and couldn't really understand why, because it was whenever the NFL draft is, April, maybe?
Yeah, weird flex. Yeah, it was April because we were in Nashville for Tara's birthday.
That's right. And so we were just kind of confused about it, but whatever, went up to our room, got on some clothes to go out for dinner that night, and went out the door of the hotel and turned to go down Broadway past the arena down to where towards the river. And as soon as we turn out of the door, you can just see everything that's happening down on Broadway.
Like, and the road was closed. There's this huge like LED arch. And we were like, what is happening? It
said, welcome to the NFL draft. And I said, well, that's not what we're here for. And so it was, we went down, the whole road was blocked off, people everywhere. You couldn't even walk down the street. And I tell you what, that was an interesting weekend. A bunch of Buffett fans mixing in with a bunch of NFL draft fans.
It was interesting. And they had a marathon that weekend too.
Yep.
And so I remember Tara and I were out to dinner the first night we were there. And I think it was maybe Thursday or whenever it was. And there were some more Jimmy Buffett folks that were trickling into town for the show. And you could tell. And we were sitting down to have dinner. And I looked up at the TV, and it was on ESPN, I think. And they talked about the NFL draft. And it said that it was in Nashville. And I was like, well, that would make sense with how busy everything is. Mm-hmm. And so it was a big weekend there in Nashville. But we managed to have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was for me the first time that I've seen Buffett outside of the lawn. I think we were like the second section down on the arena floor. So it was super cool to get kind of up close.
Yeah. And in Atlanta, it's always in an outdoor amphitheater. So that was not the first time we'd seen him in the rain, but it was the first time that the rain seemed to matter. Like, it just kind of dampened the mood. So we were a little disappointed like halfway through the concert, and Taylor was like, well, let's just go to Nashville. And that is not me at all. I'm not a last minute planning spontaneous person. So, but we had a great time. That would be my favorite concert memory too. Cause the Nashville concert, the energy there was definitely what we were wanting. It was fun.
Yeah. And it was just kind of meant to be. We ended up hopping on StubHub or something, sitting in the lawn, and found like tickets, like I said, down on the floor for half the cost that our lawn seats were in Atlanta. And, so like, and we just have
right
to go.
Next to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
That was terrific. That I've seen him in that building two or three times, and in Nashville a couple other times as well. And that one is remarkably memorable to me. And the New Year's Eve show in Nashville, that may have been the year before that, maybe a couple years before, I forget when, but the most recent New Year's Eve Nashville show, the single coldest place I've ever been in history was standing outside the arena at about 1 a.m. trying desperately to get an Uber for my group of five in my Hawaiian shirt. And I literally, this is not hyperbole, it had to be 4 degrees out there. It was absolutely freezing. So much better weather for us. We got to spend a bunch of time down on Broadway, hanging out in a few places before we went over to the show, and much better weather just an overall great time that day. You're right.
I feel so left out. Yeah, you guys did have epic seats for that show. Hank was sending me videos throughout the night, and I was sobbing as I watched my phone and saw that he was playing West Nashville, and mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, I really, really had some fear of missing out going on. But anyway, more to come.
That's right, more to come. I think we all see maybe a little light at the end of the tunnel there to get Jimmy and the band back on the road, and you know, I'm sure that one or some of us will be at that very first show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the actual interesting thing about us coming up to Nashville, we dropped you guys off back at the Airbnb or wherever y'all were staying, and Megan drove us overnight back to Atlanta because I had a 5 a.m. call at work that next morning.
I remember that. I remember the energy drink and the ride back that you guys were going to Atlanta, man. And I did not envy you, though. I am glad you did make it.
Yeah, I think we left Nashville like 1 a.m. local time and pulled up to work right at 5.
I literally dropped him off Like, we didn't go home. I dropped him off in the parking
lot. I walked into church with a Hawaiian shirt on and wore it the rest of the day.
What a great story.
That's good stuff, guys. That's awesome. I'm sure, like, the first hour you were still high from the show, because I know when we went to Virginia Beach, I drove back that night. And that first hour, I'm good, man. I'm still like, oh, he played Nautical Wheelers and Tin Cup Challenge. And then about time I hit that North Carolina line and still had another 2.5-3 hours to go. Whew. I was having to stop off for some caffeine. But anyway. The question is,
did you get a nap, Taylor?
No. I had to be at work at 5, and I think we pulled into the parking lot. I mean, not joking, at 4:58. I stepped out of the car right in.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. We're really glad that you guys got to be our first guest. Maybe you can come back sometime. I'm sure you have plenty more great stories to tell, no pun intended. But anyway, again, thank you guys so much for being here. And Hank, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. Just thanks for being here. This has been great. You know, our first guest, I'm sure our listens are in the hundreds right now. And as we move into the thousands, and who knows, man, continue to get this thing worldwide. We'll all look back fondly on our very first guest, I'm sure. So we just appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Know you have a 8-month-old little girl at home. And so you're like me and are searching for time and for sleep wherever you can get it. So you spent some time with us and our listeners, and we appreciate it, guys. If you have any fun tidbits or stories or feedback on Megan and Taylor and what they've shared tonight, again, go ahead and email us under40pod@gmail.com. But Megan and Taylor, thanks so much for being here.
Perfect. It was an honor, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you all for listening. And as always, fins up.